Hello, welcome to Tay to Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. Happy New Year, everybody!
Happy New Year!
2024!
We're back!
Whoop! Hope everyone had happy and healthy holidays, and we're just really happy to be back with all of you.
Oh, yeah.
In our last episode, we talked about The One from Folklore.
Mmm. So good.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are discussing the song Slut! Exclamation point from 1989 Taylor's version from the vault.
Woot.
I guess the exclamation point is silent.
Yeah, it's just slut.
Slut? Slut.
No,
slut!
Like, they call me a slut. That's slut. Really it.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. Slut is the 17th track on 1989 Taylor's version.
Your voice totally cracked there. That's good. 1989 was originally released on October 27, 2014. Taylor's version was released on October 27, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
This song was co-written by our guy, Jack Antonoff and Patrick Berger. On November 9th, an acoustic version of the song was released as a bonus track on a deluxe edition of the album titled 1989 Taylor's Version Deluxe Plus.
From the vault.
Yeah, from the vault, Deluxe Plus. So many versions.
My goodness. Slut has been played live by Taylor once. She played it in Buenos Aires on November 12th, 2023 for one of her surprise songs on the Eras Tour. That version is so good.
Mm.
And I am astonished. Well, I'm not actually astonished that the entire crowd knows all of the words, and I believe 1989 was just released a couple weeks before this. Like, it's crazy.
Like, barely.
Like 2 weeks. November 12th back to October 27th.
Yeah.
So, like, 2 or 3 weeks. Like, insane. The entire crowd already knew all of the words.
Well, it's really funny, and it's really cool, because Taylor also is always surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, Taylor, there is not a song you can play that we don't know the words to.
Well, except for the vault tracks that just came off of an album, maybe, but...
Yeah, but 2 weeks? That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. A day. That's all it takes.
Yeah, it's really funny. I read a meme. I feel like I sound like a grandparent. I saw a meme yesterday where, like, it talks about how Taylor was surprised at people knowing the lyrics, and someone's like, I've known the lyrics of I'd Lie from the lyric video since I was a child, so...
Oh, gosh, I can't wait for debut that
vault.
To be on Debut Vault.
It's gotta be.
Oh, it's gonna be.
It's gotta be.
Easy.
Slut peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 with 27 million streams behind fellow album tracks Is It Over Now and Now That We Don't Talk.
Mm.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Both of those are pretty good.
So solid. Mm. So good. So, Devin, mm-hmm. What do you think about Slut?
This one, I think, has been the vault song I listened to the least. Mm. However, I think that Say Don't Go is now below this one for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Slut has gotten to be such a grower for
yeah.
me. I've listened to it like nonstop this week leading up to this episode. It's so freaking good and catchy, and it really, yeah, it was the ultimate grower for me. And
mm-hmm.
I know we've said that a lot about all of these vault tracks, like, a lot of them were growers.
Yeah.
Like, Now That We Don't Talk was a grower for me. Suburban Legends was a grower for me. The only one that wasn't was Is It Over Now? And I mean, that one's just like, peak. I think that one of the reasons it was like that was because it felt to me like it belonged on Midnights.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it has that moody, synthy sound and the whispery vocals.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of feels more in line with, like, Lavender Haze and Maroon and that vibe, and instead of, like, the poppy pop vibe of 1989.
Yeah.
Where Suburban Legends and Now That We Don't Talk is very poppy compared to this one. This is very moody and sultry and flirty and very, very good, but I think more Midnights-esque.
Mm-hmm.
I love the production of this song just so much. That the vibe is so good. It is totally a mood,
mm-hmm.
you know? Her vocals are really interesting to listen to here.
Mm-hmm.
Just the sultry and flirty tone that she has is really, really wonderful on this track specifically because of how flirty of a song it is
mm-hmm.
and how just, like, seductive of a song this is.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. The way that she sings got love struck.
Yeah.
She does this little scoop. Mm-hmm. Got love struck. Mm. Got love struck. It's so, so good. It's so good. Like, I listened to it over and over and over again. Got love struck. Fantastic. The pre-chorus here is the best part of the song for me, mm-hmm. I think. And I love it even more when she does it the second time with the call and response.
Mm-hmm.
Her singing her vocals, like the response vocals to herself, they're all, like, they're so, yeah, so good.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, so great. The chorus itself is really interesting, too. It gets this twinkle at the beginning, and it gets, like, extra dreamy.
Mm.
It's, like, really, really interesting, and it kind of just feels like, yeah, like, it's a dream, and that she's obviously daydreaming or night dreaming or love sick in bed, mm-hmm. dreaming about this person and all that stuff. And so it makes sense that there are, like, these twinkles, kind of like the shimmer
mm-hmm,
around
mm-hmm.
it. The line, "And if they call me a slut, you know it might be worth it for once," is, like, one of the most powerful lines from her and, like, is the crux of the song.
Mm-hmm.
It is just such... It's such a powerful line because it's like her taking control of that word,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that she released a song called Slut.
Yeah.
The fact that she knows that lots of people call her a slut, mm-hmm. because of all of
That
time. And now it seems like it is too, even though, you know, she's only with Travis. It's like people can't get enough of her sex life and
yeah,
like, who
I mean,
she is.
I feel like it's less about her sex life and more about, like, boiling her down to just being about who she dates.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. In 1989 era, she was quote-unquote dating so many people.
Yeah.
That, like, oh my God, you know, she's a slut. And
yeah.
It's like... It's insane to me that that's what she is boiled down to for so many
that
people.
That was the narrative, and so many people. Oh, my God.
When, like, she's this person who is creating incredible music, making people so happy, and just, like, people love to stomp all over happiness and,
yeah.
like, all over people that they know they'll never even, like, get to that level.
Well, and she also, like, has a huge fan base for a reason, and that fan base is not following her because... of who she dates, you know? And it's really interesting when you have conversations, especially because now Taylor is on, like, the lexicon for everyone. Like, mm-hmm. everyone's talking about Taylor all the time, even people who used to never, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, when they know that we're Taylor Swift fans, it's always things come up. And it's always like, oh, I wonder what the songs like about Travis are going to
mm-hmm.
be like.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder, her and Joe broke up, going to be a great breakup album.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, things like that, like, boiling it down to always everything being about who she dates.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, always asking, like, the questions first that, like, especially older people ask are always
mm-hmm.
about that.
So what do you think about her and Travis Kelce?
And it's like yeah,
well, okay,
and it's
cool.
Like, she's not huge because of that. It's because of her music and how people relate to it and
yes.
how it speaks to them. And yeah.
It's like, I'm going to listen to 1989 Taylor's version of Midnight's, like, all day today. I don't care what's going on with Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm, like, definitely, like, more into that than you are. But yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like, I like the stuff and I like to see her happy and all
well,
the fun
of course.
Stuff. But, like, it's not the reason that fans are fans.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever we get that comment of oh, wow, she broke up with so-and-so, so she's going to have a great album and she's got a whole bunch of new stuff to work with. It's just like, what the heck?
Yeah, and like when people are like, how many people has she dated? I'm like, oh, can you tell me how many people you've dated?
Yeah.
Like, in your life?
Hmm. Yeah, why? Anyway. Anyway, so it is. It's still pretty prescient, I think.
Yeah.
Even though she's not dating a lot of people, you know, or who cares how many people she dates.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. It's the fact that, like, this word for her is a very strong word.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's really interesting where she puts it in the song and how she uses it as a, like, a semi-positive. If they're going to call me a slut, I might as well, you know, it'll be with you. Like, it might be worth it for once with you. And it's like, that might be... You know, the positive is the person that she's talking about,
mm-hmm.
and that she's using that to counteract this negative.
Yeah, and also, like, doing what she wants is worth whatever media criticism,
mm-hmm.
whatever they say.
Yeah, and if I get all dressed up, You know, they might as well be looking at us.
Yeah, like, yeah, great line.
Might as well. It's fascinating because we know that she struggles with this. We know that she struggles with her image and what people think of her. And obviously her life is insane right now with how incredibly huge she is. And it's like, she is the mirror ball, like, and she'll never not be, I think, at this point, you know, like, how she's just getting bigger and bigger, it seems, every day.
I don't even understand how it's possible.
And so for her to write a song like this about the person that she would go through all of this crap for is really interesting to me. And I'm really interested to see who you think it's about, because...
You'll see.
If she thought this way about Harry Styles, that's wild.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's, like, the timing-wise, but I actually don't really think it's about anyone. I think it's more about an idea and a general vibe. I don't think it's as specific. I think it's more like blank space.
Gotcha.
It's more of, like, a statement than, I think, a song for someone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I love the line and the melody of the, you're not saying you're in love with me, but you're going to.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It is so good. But you're going to. It's so good. Like, it's amazing. You're not saying you're in love with me, but oh, boy, you're going to. Mm-hmm. And you're right. That is a very blank space. Like, so good. The outro is really interesting, too, because she yells the word slut in the outro. And if they call me a slut, like, it's crazy. And I guess I don't really know how to put into words, like, how this makes me feel about her, about this song. It's like, the song itself is really, really great, but the reason why she wrote the song is so heartbreaking and difficult because of what everybody was saying about her, but she needed to write a song like this for her catharsis. And like, you want to sing along to this, but then it's also like, wait, but this is a song that she wrote out of pain.
Yeah. But it's also a reclaiming, as like you said before, too. And like, so taking control of the narrative herself, which is what Blank Space was as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a complicated song. It's so good for her to release it here. I'm happy and proud that she did put it here and instead of leaving it off.
Yeah, and it kind of makes sense. I feel like she wasn't ready to release a song like this in 2014.
So I think it's great. These vault tracks are great. And I'm very excited because in 2 weeks when we do Suburban Legends, that will be the final vault track until we get to
whatever the next album is.
And we'll be able to do some more vault track rankings and
that's exciting
brackets. And also with Suburban Legends, we will have finished the S's, and so we will finally be able to do our S bracket so we can determine what the Tay to Z podcast official S song is,
except for Sweeter Than Fiction, because you can't only get it on a Tangerine Target version.
My god, right?
But that's okay, but we can wait for that one. We can do the album, we can do the ranking. I don't think Sweeter Than Fiction is gonna be anyone's favorite S song. No offense to Sweeter Than Fiction.
Someone's immediately gonna comment, oh my god, Sweeter Than Fiction best.
Stan is gonna come find us.
Alrighty, Gab, what do you think about
Slut? I also am really glad that we're covering this song now and not right after it was released, because this song has also been a grower for me. I think when I first heard it, I was turned off by the production and, like, how slow it was and how it felt so distinctly not 1989 to me. So, like, right away I was like, But the more time I've spent with it, the more I've really grown to love it. I actually think the only part of the song that I don't like, and this is kind of what led into me kind of, like, being, like, whatever about the song before it grew on me, is the very beginning. Because to me... It kind of feels like Taylor is just listing colors.
It's a lot of colors.
Like, I know that's not actually it, and that she's kind of, like, setting the mood and the California vibes, but whenever I hear it, even still, it just kind of feels like listing colors to me. But the second that she gets into, got love struck, went straight to my head, got love sick all over my bed, then we're moving, and I just love it. Like, that, it sounds so good. It's, like, really pleasing to the ear. Yeah.
It's so good.
I think that's a pre-chorus, right?
Yeah.
It's just so catchy. It flows so well. I also really love that the feel of this song is just so clearly Taylor in her 20s living her life and, like, going out and having fun. Like, yes, there are complicated feelings amongst it, but she's also, like, going out and in California and living this, like, full celebrity life, which I feel like isn't in a ton of her songs. So I think that's really interesting, and it definitely feels like young in her 20s. Like, not young. It definitely feels like I'm going out, and this is my life, like, which does fit into the 1989 era. Like, this song being released now wouldn't feel the same.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I bet the production would have been very different, too, if she had released it on the original. And
I'm very curious about all of the Vault songs, what the production kind of would have been like back then, because they were working with such different... you know, Jack's, like, repertoire of sounds, because he makes all his sounds from, like, actual instruments and synths and things, like, have just expanded.
Yeah.
You know, he was, like, first producing stuff with her back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, that it does feel, like, very much of that time in her life, even though it doesn't sound exactly like 1989.
Yeah.
I think the chorus is also really catchy, and I really like how Taylor goes up into her higher register on it. And then I really love, like, what you were talking about, the echoes that come later in the song, and, like, the way the word slut is emphasized, it's, like, this, like, almost echo effect. I can't really describe it, but it was, like, slut! Like, it's really interesting, the effect on it. I love the melody on the second verse when she sings, "Everyone wants him, that was my crime, the wrong place at the right time." And then, and I break down, then he's pulling me in a world of boys, he's a gentleman.
Yeah, that's the line from this song.
Really, really pleasing to the ear.
Yeah.
And also, like, her pacing and her word emphasis in that verse, it's really fascinating. And, like, the way she almost, like, reveals words, like, there's a lot of pauses in places that make it sound better. I can't really explain it, but it just is so enjoyable to listen to. And, like, in the world of boys, he's a gentleman. Like, it's really well paced. It's really cool
anticipation.
Yeah. And then I just really, really love the lyric, "But if I'm all dressed up, they might as well be looking at us." And I really think about it pretty much every time we see Taylor in a paparazzi photo, going out to dinner or making an appearance. You know, she's like, okay, if, like, if I'm out and I'm doing this, like, they might as well. Yeah. And so, like, we kind of already talked about this, but though, like, the production of this song, I don't think fits with that original album. Like, the themes are so consistent of that time in Taylor's life. And kind of view the blank space idea from a different end. Almost even a more hurt end. Like, blank space is a lot more, like, satirizing and kind of doing, like, her, like, man-eater portrayal in the media. Where this is more, like, it's a little more painful that because of who she's dated, people are making all these judgments about her, boiling her down to that.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad we got this as a Vault song. Devin, do you relate to Slut?
I love... and relate to "If I'm all dressed up, they might as well be looking at us." Because, heck yes, when I am all done up with you and we are at a party and at a wedding, I want everyone watching us. When we're on the dance floor, and I mean, there was one wedding we went to a couple of years ago where we were literally the only people on the dance floor dancing, and the photographer got so many amazing pictures of us because we were the only ones dancing.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I guess this is our wedding now, huh? And I totally relate to that line in a positive way, in the sense that, like, if I'm dressed up, I like being looked at.
Yeah.
You know, like, and especially with you. And because when we're both done up and, like, we have so much fun together with the life of the party, it's fun.
You know?
Especially because, like, we're dancing together and spinning and whatever. And all, you know, all the little old ladies are like, oh, my God, who's that over there dancing on the dance floor?
Like, will you dance with me?
Oh, my gosh. No, I love it. Love it. Love it. I relate to that a lot. Gab, do you relate?
Yeah, but, like, I kind of extrapolated in a different way.
Yeah.
So, the word slut was thrown around, like, crazy in my middle school and high school years. And it was often generally used to, like, take down someone for what they were wearing or, like, for liking lots of boys, basically. Yeah. It never really actually referenced sexual promiscuity. It just was more, like, used as an insult, like, often from women to women, honestly. As I'm sure many of our listeners probably were as well, I was definitely, like, slut-shamed a couple of times, like, during those years. One time that I can, like, clearly remember thinking about, I was, like, 14 or 15, and it was, like, a Friday after school near the end of the year. So it was, like, warm out, summertime, and then, like, you know, our school, like, you could walk into town, and on a Friday we'd all go, we'd get, like, pizza and things like that. So my friends and I, including both boys and girls, ended up, like, we were pretty good kids. Like, we didn't drink or anything. So we'd, like, find entertaining ways to entertain ourselves or to spend our time. There were so many, like, of us that there was a lot of just loitering on street corners and things like that.
Yeah.
But so while coming up with these creative ways, one day we ended up getting into a water fight in the middle of this public park in town. And we would, like, fill up bottles of water from the town fountain and just, like, throw them at each other. You know, it was just, like, silly kid fun. We weren't hurting or bothering anyone other than, like, throwing water at each other.
Yeah.
And I remember I was wearing white Bermuda shorts, which can, like, kind of clue you into, like, the years this was, because Bermuda shorts were only in for a very limited amount of time. And white clothes, when they're wet, can get a little see-through.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember these girls that weren't part of my group of friends kind of, like, watching from the side and, like, making comments about me wearing white pants on purpose and, like, being such a huge flirt and, like, boy obsessed. And it's, like, pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, I'm sure I was wearing granny panties under those white pants. So there wasn't really, like, anything, like, sexy about it or about them being wet or see-through, you know? Like,
yeah.
And also, like, they weren't really see-through, but it was just, like, the idea of it. I was totally, like, I was a total flirt, like, for sure. I liked attention, you know? Like,
yeah.
Who doesn't? But it's just so interesting how you think about the word slut, and, like, that's a story that comes to my mind. And it's such an innocuous thing, right?
Yeah.
It's so silly, and I was, like, basically a kid still. And that, like, that was, like, being thrown around, that idea, at such a young age, and, like, also being weaponized girls to girls just to, like, take down someone who they, like, don't necessarily agree with behavior or don't like that they're getting the attention the others aren't or anything. It could be any variety of reason. I'm sure, like, anyone from, like, that time, and, like, it's, like, really, that was, like, the time before even the term slut shaming was even coined.
Mm.
The news media and, like, magazines, like, I consumed, like, so many magazines, like Us Weekly, People Mag, like, every week I bought these magazines. Like, that was, like, the thing to do.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I'm like, where did I have money for that? Like, I
have
no idea. Those magazines, they were like, I mean, they were cheaper then, but it was like, what, $3 each every week on magazines? Those magazines were slut-shaming all of the celebrities, especially the young teen ones.
Right.
Like, I remember that was, like, the era of, like, Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan going out.
Yeah.
And, like, the era of, like, Paris Hilton's, like, short skirts. So it, like, caused such an uproar with the media, with people. And so that was, like, what we were all consuming, taking in, and then, like, using against each other.
Yep.
And so I'm sure that, like, a lot of people experienced similar situations and things that they're like, really? Like, I was passed judgment on for something so what? There was just so much policing of girls' behavior and clothing growing up, and, like, just, like, people being, like, having issues or being threatened by girls' sexuality as girls become women. It's, like, such a weird, complicated thing. And there's so much policing of it. And I'm sure there still is today. And they just use different words as insults. Like, today, people know that you're not supposed to call someone a slut, right? But, like, that word was thrown around all the time. But I'm sure there are other ways of people saying things today that's the same idea. Because even though we've come so far, people still pass so much judgment.
Yes.
And, like, women are under such scrutiny and policing for every move that isn't, like, quite right.
Yep.
The opposite of that, too, is, like, you call people a prude or whatever, you know? So, and even with Taylor still today, as we were talking about, the language has changed slightly with her, but it's still the same narrative. I find it really, really interesting. And that's, like, in the same idea of the lyric, "I'll pay the price, you won't," which I think is such a good lyric. Like, that reflects, like, the media's misogyny, you know, calling Taylor a serial dater, focusing so much on her dating life and not her work. And that same treatment doesn't apply to men in the public eye in the same way.
Yeah.
And that it's very interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a great lyric too.
Well, now we get to the segment of Gossip.
On Tumblr Music, talking about the Vault songs, Taylor said, The song Slut is a song we wrote for 1989, and in it, I kind of sort of cheekily play on the discussions at that time in my life around my dating life, and that's not the only time in 1989 that I did that. I did that on Blank Space, and I think when I came down to having to pick songs for the album, I think I thought, okay, well, I'm going to choose Blank Space, and unfortunately had to make some tough decisions in terms of what to put on the track list, but I love this song because I think it's really dreamy, and I don't know, like, I always saw 1989 as a New York album, but this song to me was always California, and maybe that was another reason that it didn't make the cut. Because sometimes thematically I have these little rules in my head, but I'm so happy it's finally going to be something that you guys hear, because I've always been proud of it. I've always wanted it to come out into the world, and now it is. So yay. I think it's really interesting to get that little glimpse into her psyche of like, okay, 1989 is like my I moved to New York album, so I don't want to include my California song. Like, that's it's so Taylor, like her thinking of all the aesthetics and the themes and the rules, and that she makes rules for herself on her albums. I love it.
So good.
Well, you have to, but it's like a lot of artists have stories and ideas about the album, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's always like on theme in the same way necessarily. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of artists are, but not necessarily all the pop artists.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
It's true.
Like even her pop songs and her hits often fit into those same themes.
Right.
This song was Swedish songwriter and producer Patrik Bergen's only contribution to 1989. Famous credits of his include Robin's Dancing on My Own and Iconopop's I Love It, which are like really huge, good pop songs.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting, and neither of which sound like this song.
No.
So I think that's kind of cool. What is it about the Swedes who are so Swedes, good at pop?
They're so good at pop. It's because of ABBA.
I love ABBA. That's probably fair.
Honestly.
A nation shaped by ABBA.
That's where it all started.
The lyrics of Slut are about embracing a romance in spite of public scrutiny. Around the time when 1989 was released, following a series of publicized romances with male celebrities, the media portrayed Taylor as a serial dater, and she addressed this subject in various interviews and satirized it in the album's second single, Blank Space, as we mentioned. One similar image to Blank Space is the lyric, "Love thorns all over this rose" to Rose Garden Filled with Thorns. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that vision, that idea, she like had to get that on the album, which is kind of cool. I think the lyric, "If I'm gonna be drunk, might as well be drunk in love," is a reference to Beyonce's hit, Drunk in Love. Mm-hmm. As we know, Taylor and Beyonce have been friends for many years.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's like a coincidence.
Probably not.
You know? And also like Drunk in Love is just like such a sexy song and like such a lovey song.
So good.
And like this was especially the year I feel like when they like were first getting super close and growing close. And I don't know, I think it kind of is a bit of a reference. Like, if I'm gonna be drunk, might as well be drunk in love. Like, that is the pedestal. Like, Beyonce and Jay-Z's Drunk in Love, like that undeniable attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the lyric, "You're not saying you're in love with me, but you're going to," really makes me think of Say Don't Go and the lyric, "I say I love you, you say nothing back." Oh. It's like as if the first lyric is like the overly confident start of the relationship, and then Say Don't Go is when things start to break down. Mm. That's how I envision it. So even though I don't really think this song is specifically about a person, I think it's more of like an idea and like a narrative, I do think there are glimmers that really connected to those other songs.
Mm-hmm.
So like it could be, I mean, and given the timing, this was like the hairy timing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's like the impetus for the song, but I think it's really interesting, those two lyrics in juxtaposition.
Yeah.
I don't know. "You're not saying you love me, but you're going to," like that confidence, it's so sexy in the song.
It's so good.
And just that idea too, like, I don't know, with me, personally, I'd always be like, I know, like, how to get guys to fall in love with me. I don't necessarily know how to get them to stay. Mm. That was kind of my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I was like, "You're not saying you're in love with me, but you're going to. It's going to happen. I'm a catch."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really like that, like, early confidence of hers.
Early confidence gab.
I mean, yeah. When Taylor first announced the release of 1989 Taylor's version and the pre-sale of vinyl and CDs, she had four color options. Crystal Skies Blue, Rose Garden Pink, Aquamarine Green, and Sunrise Boulevard Yellow. She also had a Target-exclusive tangerine version.
Wild.
Which the tangerine version made me so mad that that was the Target-exclusive and has a song that's only the Target. I get it. She does that with Target.
But always.
Drives me crazy. And the first two colors reference blank space, but the rest are all references to Slut, which we didn't have the lyrics or know the song yet.
Right.
And we're all like, huh, Sunrise Boulevard, Aquamarine, what's gonna happen?
It's just ridiculous.
It's just a lot of colors.
It's so many.
In a song. And I think though if she hadn't done that promotional thing with the colors, maybe I wouldn't mind the color listing at the start of the song, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I see we have the same favorite line. So Devin,
oh my gosh,
tell us your favorite line in this song.
We've said it so many times already, but you're not saying you're in love with me, but you're going to.
Oh, it's so good.
Like, so good.
I love it.
It's so sexy. It's so good. And the pause before, but you're going to.
Yeah.
It's like the little wink. Oh God, it's so good.
I love it. It's a really good one. And the way she sings it is really spot on. Like when this song gets stuck in my head, that's the line that's stuck in my head. Yeah.
Amazing.
More of that energy for everyone in 2024.
Oh, please.
Confidence.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Devin. From 1 to 10, handprints and wet cement.
Ooh.
Which is so California.
Oh.
For those of our listeners who don't know what that means or references, especially those who don't live in the U.S., that's referencing the Hollywood Walk of Fame and like that everyone gets like a star and then they put their handprints in the cement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they do the handprints in cement anymore. I think it's just the stars, yeah. But they used to all do the handprints in cement.
Yeah.
And you can see all of those by Grauman's Chinese Theater and then all throughout Hollywood. That neighborhood area are the stars and the handprints in cement. But anyway, what do you rate Slut from 1 to 10 handprints in wet cement?
I think I'm going to give Slut 8 handprints in wet cement.
Okay.
Yeah. Great, great track.
Mm-hmm.
Great vault track. Again, I just don't fully see it on 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't my favorite vault track on this album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not my favorite vault track of all time, right? So
yeah, we all know what that is.
Please. Please. But I think that I think 8 handprints is a pretty good
rating. Yeah, for rating. Sure. That's a great rating.
Gab, from 1 to 10 handprints in wet cement, what do you give this song?
It's so interesting how aligned we are on the 1989 vault songs, because we're not usually this aligned.
Yeah.
And it's been like a lot of weeks of being very aligned.
Yeah.
And it's like throwing me off.
Out by it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, am I being true to myself?
I don't know.
But I also am going to give it 8 handprints and wet cement.
Wow.
So, you know, for a lot of the reasons you said, I really like this song. It's grown on me a ton. It's not like my favorite.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect song because of the listing of the colors. But I really do like it, and I really enjoy listening to it. And I'm really glad that I've had more time to grow to love it.
Yeah, because I think first listen, this song for me was way lower. Probably like a 4 or 5.
What I often do is, like, I'll make judgments or ideas in my head of what a song's going to sound like based on the title.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't match that, I get upset.
Right.
Even though, why would I have any idea?
But this was totally one of those.
Well, because Slut had an exclamation point.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is going to be, like, a pop song. Yeah. It's going to be, like, blank space and, like...
Like a bop.
That's what I was thinking more. Yeah. But I do really like it. And also, I like how unique it is. Mm-hmm. Like, so many of these vault songs, so many of these songs that Taylor's released are just so unique.
Yeah, very good.
Listen along with us. You can check us out on Instagram at @TayToZPodcast and give us all your thoughts. Is Slut your top vault song? I know it is for a lot of people.
How many of the color vinyls or CDs do you all have?
Yeah. Does anyone have the tangerine and want to send us Sweeter Than Fiction?
Ooh.
Even still, we can't cover it until everyone can listen
to
it. But we would appreciate that. And remember, you can find exclusive bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/TayToZPodcast.
Yes, and thank you as always to our patrons. You are the absolute best. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, next episode, we'll be covering The Alcott from the Nationals album, First 2 Pages of Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenging one for us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're not as used to the Nationals. Mm. Style.
No, but it's a good song.
Yeah. Come hang with us.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been K to Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.